Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Sarah O'Brien, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, is in the studio. Good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
No, my pleasure.
I want to start with the riots in Dublin last week. There's a new report out today. It's from the Joint Committee on Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. And it says that the housing crisis has been a key catalyst for anti-immigrant sentiment in Ireland because it has created the impression that resources are scarce and that people have to compete for services. Do you accept that, that the housing crisis is in part at least responsible for what we saw?
There's no excuse for what happened last Thursday. Let's be very clear about it. I say that as a citizen, as a dub, knowing people who responded to the initial awful attacks on the children and the creche worker. There's simply no excuse for the riots that happened afterwards, the thuggery, the destruction of property, the attacks on our Gardaí, on our first responders. Like the fire crew from Phibsborough came out and responded to the initial stabbings. They were attacked later that night. The fire tenders were attacked and damaged. Emergency personnel were attacked. So there isn't an excuse for that in any way, shape or form. So anyone to try to in any way, shape or form, not to excuse it, but to rationalise it, is completely wrong.
OK, well, let's look at why people are rioting and protesting outside reception centres. Those people feel disenfranchised, would you not agree? Like society, they feel, is not working for them. And a key part of that is the housing crisis.
Well, look, let's put it this way. Firstly, I think we've got to remember that the vast, vast majority of Irish people are disgusted with what happened on Thursday, but also disgusted with these type of protests outside reception centres. Okay,
And you don't believe that the housing crisis has anything to do with this?
Claire, I'm not going to... No one should excuse the behaviour that we've seen. Let's be clear about that. We have a housing crisis that we're tackling, okay, and that we're making progress on. I'll talk about that separately. But I don't want to blur the lines between criminal behaviour, rioting, vandalism, assault, and other and issues that we have in the state. There are people who will hitch their wagons to any issue. You've seen this with far-right actors right across Europe. It's not just unique to Ireland. Actually, it's worse in Central Europe and Continental Europe. And there's a small portion of people who will try to manipulate others, some with genuine concerns, and to manipulate that and to tell them that it's one group of people against the other. And it's not. And that is so there is no excuse. And there can be no rationalising of that either.
Okay, so, I know so the you, job that you don't I, accept that when resources are scarce, that tempers get frayed. And it can lead to this point.
Now, I'm not going to link either of them. What I'm going to say to you is, of course, tempers and frustrations from good people can be exacerbated because of lack of services, because of what they see, lack of housing. And that's why we're tackling that. That's why this year, if I could say, and I know we'll get to this, but it's at this juncture I should say this, is we're going to, again, for the second year in Housing for All, exceed the target that we have.
Yeah, but your targets are wrong.
They're not wrong. We're going to exceed the targets that we have substantially. We built more new social homes, actually, in 2022 than we built for 50 years. More affordable homes than the first time in a generation. And we're going to do more than that this year. And I think most reasonable
people... How many social homes had you promised this year?
Well, we've promised new builds.
How many?
New build 9,100.
How many are you going to complete?
We're going to be very close to that.
By June it was 1,400.
If you look at our half-year delivery on social housing was about 2,300.
So will you reach the target by the end of the year?
I'm going to answer you now. Okay, the last quarter is always very heavy in delivery. And if I can give you a real life example of that, last year over 6,000 social homes were delivered in the last quarter. We have a very, very strong delivery path for the end of this year.
Are you going to make the target?
Our overall target set in Housing for All of 29,000 we're going to exceed. We're doing everything we can to exceed our social housing target as well through all our delivery streams. Well, we're very dependent on the last quarter. What I'm telling you now is we still have five weeks to go where there's big schemes being delivered.
But if you were sure of it, you'd say it. It sounds as though you're not sure that you're going to meet
that
target.
No, it's not that, Claire. I'm being very honest with you. Okay.
On affordable homes, your target is 3,500. Where are you going to be at the end of the year?
Let me finish on this one first, okay? The reality of it is that we deliver a lot of our housing in the last quarter. We have a very strong pipeline for delivery this year and indeed next, which I'll talk about in a minute, because next year we'll deliver even more. So I can tell you with confidence that we will deliver more social homes this year than we did last.
Okay, but it's about keeping your promises and meeting the targets
it
that you set
indeed.
For yourself.
It
and on
indeed.
Affordable homes, are you going to hit that target of 3,000?
We're going
to
deliver substantially more affordable homes this year than we did last. And what I mean substantially...
Again, can you answer the question? Are you going to meet that
target?
Well,
Claire, you're asking me, we have 5 weeks remaining in the year.
But you can see what completions you have coming up in 5 weeks. If anyone's building a house, they know roughly
well,
when
I think
it's going
if
to
anyone looks
at,
anyone looks around the country, not just in Dublin but around the country, you will see the level of development that's happening. And most fair-minded people will actually see that there's been significant progress has been made. That there's our commencement figures, if you look at even just October, were 45% up on this time last year. So that momentum is there and that progress is there. Now, there might be some, for political reasons, want to deny that progress and then they go even further than try to block it. But there's a reality that if I look at the 5 years, if I take 5 years in the teens, 2011 to 2016, 30,000 homes were built in 5 years. We did 30,000 homes last year. We'll do more than that this year.
Which Eoghan O'Brien would say is 20,000 less than we need.
Sorry?
Per year.
And that's Eoghan O'Brien who doesn't even have a housing plan, who says he backs home ownership. And every home ownership support that we've brought in, like the Help to Buy grant, we're seeing more first-time buyers now than we've seen since 2007. €30,000 of their own tax back in their pocket. Eoghan O'Brien and Sinn Féin will get rid of it. The First Home Scheme, which he railed
they
against...
They say those schemes are pushing up the price of new homes.
He has also said... Let me just say what's working, okay? What's working is first-time buyers are now able to, for the first time in a generation, buy homes. Because there's more new homes being built and because of the support we're putting in place, like the First Home Equity Scheme, which with nearly 8,000 registrations there, over 3,000 approvals.
O'Brien quoted figures in the Dáil last month where he said, yes, there are 500 mortgages being drawn down every week, isn't it? But he went to the Banking and Payments Federation and they told him that 70% of those mortgages are being drawn down to buy second-hand homes.
And that's
he says that is because the new homes are not affordable because of government policy.
Well, he's not correct. And what I say to you is this, is that the measures we've put in place for first-time buyers mean we've more first-time buyers buying homes now than we've had in over 15 years. And the fact of the matter is, and you can ask this of Deputy O'Brien or Sinn Féin colleagues, is the supports that we've brought in for first-time buyers that are working and every single month are increasing, he would get rid of. Mm-hmm. So the First Home Scheme, which bridges the gap between what people have and what they need to buy a home, and I've met many of those homeowners. This isn't, you know, this, real people moving into homes they couldn't have bought without that help. That will be gone under Sinn Féin. Help to Buy grant will be gone under Sinn Féin. Even inexplicably, Claire, on vacancy, where I brought in the Croí-Cónaí vacancy grant, €70,000 up to of grants to buy properties, bring them back in. Yeah. But hear me out on this.
They say they would increase the overall housing budget by €1.7 billion. Well, that's the commitment that they make.
I would just say on this, okay? On the vacancy grants, over 5,500 households have applied, okay? Nearly 3,000 approved, okay? They have said very clearly they would abolish that grant. And I have to ask the question, on all of those measures that support first-time buyers and home ownership, why would they abolish them? And then secondly, what's their alternative? They have not put forward an alternative housing plan.
All right.
And they've promised that they would.
We will ask them about their policies when they're with us. Can I just go back to the Dublin riots and to the political response to this? Because I thought it was interesting that Ivana Bacik in the Dáil, without naming names, said that people are grandstanding and political play-acting by calling on the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, to resign. Now, the people she's talking about there, some of the people she's talking about are in your own party. Erin McGreehan, the Senator, and Timmy Dooley. Are they wrong to call for his resignation?
Our party, firstly, supports the Garda Commissioner and supports the Minister for Justice. I've spoken in the
Dáil. Not all of your party.
No, our party operates as a collective, okay? And our party does allow people to have different opinions, unlike others. The reality of it is that all of our colleagues across the House were absolutely disgusted with what they saw last week.
Do you support Drew Harris and you support Helen McEntee?
Yes, I do. And our party does. And let me be very clear on this.
Is that grandstanding and play acting?
I think what Ivana Bacic and what I referred to in the Dáil yesterday, if you look at the main opposition party, that within 24 hours, less than 24 hours after the...
We know what the opposition parties are doing. This is within your own party.
Sorry.
This is within the
Claire,
government
the
ranks
Tánaiste
now.
Our party leader.
Timmy Dooley and Erin McGreehan calling for Drew Harris to resign. Is that political play acting?
What I'm saying to you is very clearly, is our party, as one of the coalition parties, the largest party in the Dáil, I might add, as well, supports the Garda Commissioner and supports the Justice Minister.
Because the Taoiseach seemed to agree with Ivana Bacic when she made that reference to grandstanding.
I was in the Dáil yesterday, okay, and why I was trying to respond, when I was trying to respond to your question, is the main actors in this in relation to grandstanding are Sinn Féin. Because within 24 hours, less than 24 hours of the attack, straight away, the leader of the opposition called for the resignation of the Justice Minister and the resignation of the Garda Commissioner. Now, there will be learnings from what we saw on Thursday, and there has to be, no question. Yeah. Because
and
no
Sinn
one wants to see...
are entitled to do that, but you can
sorry,
have
our party
influence
are very clear. Our party
over
are very,
what your senators in your
our
own
party,
party are saying.
Our party is very clear. We support the Garda Commissioner and we support the Minister for Justice.
So Timmy and Aaron
and
are wrong.
I've told you straight what our party position is. And to be fair to members, that when people see and their initial response to what they saw last Thursday, people will have some people will have an initial reaction. What we need to do is to see how we can ensure this doesn't happen again, to take learnings from what happened. Because I can tell you, as someone who's born and reared in Dublin, that for all the vast majority of normal Dubliners and people right across the country were disgusted with what they see. And what they want to see is action that ensures this doesn't happen again and that our Gardaí are resourced appropriately. Like, I saw the attacks on Gardaí myself. I know some of those guards who responded last week, who put their safety on the line to protect
but
their city and protect
very
businesses.
They were exposed, weren't they? Some of them we heard last night from the GRA came to Dublin because they got a WhatsApp
message. There's two things, right? We had the largest deployment of public order units that we've ever seen. Okay, we had 400 Gardaí on the street, 200 public order units.
Eventually.
And they regained control. There was no question.
We lost control.
No question for, you saw the lawlessness in the north inner city. Everyone saw that last Thursday. But let's remember who's to blame for that. Who's to blame for that are the perpetrators. Now, I'm being very clear. Obviously, learnings from the operational side will be made. But you have to assess that. You don't just jump in within 24 hours, as Sinn Féin did, as the main opposition party and their leader, who happens to be a TD for the area, and just call for heads. Okay, what I'm saying is we need a much more...
We've got to take it then. We need that you absolutely do not agree with what your party colleagues
said,
are
I've
saying
just said
in
you very
the
clearly,
Shannon.
I've just said to you very clearly, Claire, that our party supports the Justice Minister and the Garda Commissioner. And most importantly, we support our Gardaí.
Yeah.
Now, what we've got to do is to make sure that what happened doesn't happen again, and that there's an assessment of the response and to see how in areas where that can be improved, that it is improved. And that's what I want to see happen.
I know at Cabinet this week you were told that there is likely to be an accommodation crisis for refugees who are arriving in this country. We've just had a statement from the Department of Integration today saying that this could happen within days when there is no accommodation. Now, Nick Henderson from the Irish Refugee Council was on Morning Ireland this morning asking that the state consider building emergency accommodation now. Can you help in that regard with the provision of state land, for example?
We are helping, and this is a cross-government issue. I think we've been able to accommodate over 100,000 people in, you know, a very short space of time. That hasn't been without its challenges, but we've done that as a state with the support of our people. And that's been obviously led by Minister O'Gorman and assisted by myself and many other government
departments. What are you doing this week in response to what he told you at Cabinet?
Well, what we continue to do is we've continued to assist in the rollout of modular homes for Ukrainians. We've continued to assist in...
This isn't about Ukrainians. This is about people seeking international protection in the coming days who will have nowhere to go. So given that he said to you this week, I have nowhere to put these people, what is your department doing this week to address
that? The people
who
lead on the ground on a lot of this are through our local authorities right across the country. And they're under my department. We work very, very closely with the Department of Children. We stand up additional accommodation on a regular basis.
But haven't taken any special measure this week to protect those people who might be sleeping on the street and subject to the kind of attacks we saw last Thursday night.
What the Department of Children and ourselves work very closely together. And what I'm saying to you, there's people seeking protection under international protection, and there's also our friends from Ukraine who are coming here too. Both sets need to be accommodated. And we've done, I think, pretty well as a state in relation to that response. There will be peaks in new arrivals into the country, and we've addressed that so far, and we will continue to do that. The Offer a Home scheme, which we've brought forward to our local authorities, has been very successful too. We assist in the sourcing of accommodation. with the Department of Children in assessing that and turning that into temporary centres as well. And we'll continue to work with them. We work with them very closely.
All right. I just wanted to talk to you about broader politics now before we finish. I don't know whether you would agree that Micheál Martin, in the beginning of this government, faced a fairly difficult period after the last general election. People might remember right up to last year, the party brought a dossier of concerns about his leadership to his attention. Has that all settled now?
The party's fully united behind Micheál as our leader. And I think by most fair people will see that he had an exceptional term as Taoiseach in a very difficult time, right the way through COVID. Mm. COVID feels to some people like 10 years ago, but it's still in our recent past. We managed to, as a government under his leadership, to come through COVID to ensure that we came out of what was potentially the deepest recession.
So it has settled.
That was there.
And are you content that he would lead the party into the next general election?
100%. And I've said that I have said that many times on this show with you right since the last general election.
But looking at Fianna Fáil and where it's going, so you go from Brian Cowan to Micheál Martin, everyone's happy, you say, with Micheál Martin as it stands. But after Micheál Martin, there will have to be a new generation coming in there, would you say?
Well, firstly, our leader is there. He's tarnished of the country. He'll be leading us into the next general election. We have a number of very talented people within our parliamentary party, both in the Senate and in the Dáil. We've many of us who have now had our first opportunity to serve at cabinet for over 3 years now, during a difficult time. But we have done our level best, and we're making progress in all of those areas.
But so once Micheál Martin's time is up as leader of the party, do you agree that it might be time for a fresh perspective, and that generation is left behind?
You're asking me to look way into the future on this. We have a year to go in government. And what we're focused on is delivering our programme for government, and our party is focused on delivering in the ministries that we hold and that we've the honour of holding. That is our only focus right now. We will fight the general election as a Fianna Fáil party based on our record of delivery and based on a new manifesto.
You'd like to see the election pushed out as far as possible, I would assume, so that you can get more houses built, right?
Well, I think the next...
The longer you get, the better.
Well, we've made real progress in the last 2 years. Not everyone's feeling that, okay? I can tell you this year will be a very strong year in delivery. When you look at the rest of Europe, where you see housing delivery contracting, it's not in Ireland, it's increasing. We'll see it further increase next year, where we will have very, very strong delivery next year across all tenures, across social, across private, and indeed across affordable.
So an election next year for you is not what you'd like to see happen?
That's not something that is within my gift, but I can tell you...
What's your preference?
Well, I think this government, and there will be those who will have their right to criticise this government, I get that, and that's absolutely fine. We've over a year to run. This government should run its course.
That's the answer I was looking for. You want to go to 2025. So, do you think, though, now, because we are moving close, like we're at the back end of this government, that in your party it's time for people to start laying their cards on the table about doing business with Sinn Féin?
No, sorry. You see, Claire, what you're asking here is we've over a year in government left. We have very serious issues that we've just been discussing, you and I, here, around housing, around migration, all of these things, as many others, around health, around our economy and jobs. We're focused on doing the work in government. We're not focused on the next general election.
Well, you've got to start telling people, you know, what the future is for Fianna Fáil, you know, and who you are and who you'll do business with.
People know who we are as a party that delivers in government. And we've shown that. We've shown a step change in housing delivery because of Fianna Fáil policies and because of ensuring that the state is actually the main actor in housing, delivering public homes at a scale we haven't seen for 50 years, affordable
homes.
We've
got double the number of children in homelessness that we had in 2016.
I'm aware of that. And we have a growing population, and we still have a very difficult situation with regard to homelessness. We're still seeing an increase in Dublin. We're seeing a decrease in many other areas across the country. Thankfully, we're seeing more people exit into permanent social housing than we've ever seen before this year. A lot of work remains to be done there, I can tell you. And that is my number one priority. But the key to that, and the key to addressing it, is increasing housing supply, particularly social housing.
And on the question of Sinn Féin, like if they got a similar result in the next election as they got in 2020 when they won the popular vote, would you block them from government?
Sorry, you're asking me firstly to predict the outcome of the next general election. I'm not going to do that, okay? People can look at polls all day.
I want to ask you, what I'm asking you is, would you do business with Sinn Féin?
We're more than a year away from a general election.
And you won't answer that question?
If you let me just respond to you, what I'm saying, I've given you a number of examples on housing where their policies are totally and utterly incompatible.
That's a separate issue. So would you do business with Sinn Féin?
Claire, I'm not going to predict the outcome of the next general election. My preference is, and why it's important that we look at the real policy differences that are there. If I look at housing, I support home ownership and my party does. Sinn Féin does not. There are major, major differences.
Okay, well, you're not saying you wouldn't do business
but
with
there are major, major differences between my party and theirs.
Just finally, you're Fianna Fáil's Director of Elections for the European Parliament elections. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So will you run candidates in all three of the constituencies?
Of course.
And there are three people who are vying for selection in the Midlands Northwest. Mm-hmm. We have Lisa Chambers, Barry Cowan and Neil Blaney. So what will happen there? Will two be selected to run, or how is that process going to work?
We're opening nominations actually this week for all of the constituencies. So we've two excellent MEPs in Barry Andrews in Dublin and Billy Kelleher in Ireland South. We've no MEP in Midlands Northwest. We've opened our nominations just now, and we intend to hold our convention in Dublin before Christmas and the convention in the other two constituencies very shortly afterwards.
Mm, but will there be two candidates in that constituency I mentioned?
That'll be a matter for us to decide, and we'll see who comes through the nomination process as well. But we the members select our candidates. I think we have.
So it may be three.
As I said to you, that has not been decided yet, Claire.
But what
we will be doing is we've two excellent MEPs. We want to retain those seats that we have. And we certainly believe there's an opportunity for us to win additional European seats, and we will select the best tickets on behalf of our party.
Minister, thank you very much for coming in. Minister Darragh O'Brien. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.